So this morning I'm going to read from 2 Kings, and I'm going to preach on Elijah, that very important character that most of us don't remember who he is. So let's listen to God's word for us today. In the second book of Kings, in the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he replied, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." So Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so they came to Jericho. And the company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And Elisha answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah came to him and said, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets were sent also, and stood some distance from them. And as they were both standing by the Jordan, Elijah took up his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water parted to the one side and the other until the two of them crossed over on dry land. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what may I do for you before I am taken from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." And he responded, "You are asking a very hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire with horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha kept watching. And crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was reminded before the scripture reading that Bill Gates died this past week. Bates, I'm sorry. Got it written down wrong. Can't trust the hearing. On Thursday. And services are planned, but they are private. So, the Lord was about to take Elijah up into heaven in a whirlwind, it says there in verse 1. Yes, a whirlwind. The best flying technology of the ancient world. Today we have a brand new airplane that can carry rockets and satellites into space. She has a wingspan longer than a football field, the longest in the world. And from nose to end, she measures 238 feet. From the ground to the tip of her vertical tail, she stands 50 feet tall. She weighs 500,000 pounds and is powered by huge passenger jet engines. Her name? Stratolaunch. This colossal aircraft is the brainchild of billionaire Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, the one you don't hear about regularly. He's the chief executive of a corporation behind the airplane, says that Allen has a vision of normalizing access to low Earth orbit. He wants to carry payloads and satellites and human into space in ways that are economical and flexible that ground-based rockets don't offer. So Stratolaunch is scheduled to take flight for the first time in 2019. No whirlwind required. Just get on board and strap yourself in. Stratolaunch will make the connection between Earth and the heavens by taking rockets into space and then returning to Earth. Something similar happened when Elijah was airlifted into heaven in a whirlwind. Instead of dying, he went directly to heaven, and then later he returns to Earth on the Mount of Transfiguration. He appeared alongside Moses and had a conversation with Jesus, showing the disciples that Jesus was a continuation of what God had started in the Old Testament, in the Law and the Prophets. Today, Jews expect Elijah to return to earth ahead of the Messiah. A place is set for him whenever they gather for their annual Passover meal. Elijah is not designed to perform his prophetic work and then blast off on a one-way trip to heaven. Instead, he is meant to safely return to earth and continue the work that God has called him to do. So let's not talk about the prophet and his whirlwind. Better that we should discuss Elijah and his Stratolaunch from ground to sky and safely back to earth. This prophet is a living link between earth and heaven, between our world and God's world. He helps us to remain connected to God and proves that heaven is not just afterlife, but it is a place that has ongoing impact on the choices we make in this life. When we fly with Elijah on his Stratolaunch, we keep our eyes both on heaven and on earth. We give thanks for the gift of salvation, of course, but we also put our heart, our mind, and our strength into doing God's work in this world. We put our effort on changing the world as it is into the world as it should be. Remembering Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is in heaven. With God's help, our challenge is to do whatever we can to get the ways of this world to line up with the values of heaven. We begin the process by carrying forward the work of the biblical prophet. Elisha certainly had this desire. When he asked his master Elijah, "Just please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Knowing that Elijah was about to depart, Elisha wanted the spirit of his master to fill him so that he could continue his master's work in this world. As we listen to the prophets, we hear a complete and clear and consistent cry for justice. Isaiah challenges us to learn to do good work, to seek justice, to rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. Jeremiah criticizes those who do not judge with justice the cause of the orphan, to make it prosper and do not defend the rights of the needy. With a similar voice, Hosea calls us to hold fast to love and justice, while Amos says, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like the overflowing stream." According to Micah, the Lord requires nothing more of us than to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before our God. In communities across the country, Christians are challenged to inherit a double share of the spirit of these biblical prophets. When we do, we take action to make sure that all of our neighbors are treated fairly and that the weak and the poor get the help they need. We also reach out to our elected leaders and pressure them to take actions that will benefit everyone, not just the well-connected, the politically active, or the wealthy. Elijah himself became famous for helping a poor widow and her son, who were not only needy, but they were foreigners, residents of Zarephath. When we inherit a double share of Elijah's spirit, we enter into new territory and help people in need. We join with God's prophets, seeking justice, rescuing the oppressed, defending the rights of the poor. This puts us on board of Elijah's stratolaunch, which connects the needs of the world with the values of heaven. This work continues when we act in ways that are consistent with the ministry of Jesus. But here's the problem. At times, we neglect the specifics of what Jesus did in the world, focusing instead on his sacrificial death and resurrection. Have you ever noticed in our greatest statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed, it says nothing about the ministry of Jesus? It begins with the words, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary." And there's nothing wrong with that. These words are the foundation of our faith. But what comes next in the creed? "He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried." Wait a second. The entire life of Jesus is jumped over in that ancient universal church creed. Born of the very Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. All those wonderful Bible stories we love to teach the kids. All those examples by living a life true to his God are just jumped over. Where's the teaching? Where's the preaching? Where's the healing and the miracles that Jesus was known for? The leaders of the Presbyterian Church USA tried to fill in this gap when they wrote a brief statement of faith in the 1980s. The section on Jesus begins with an affirmation that Jesus is both fully human and fully God, but then it goes on to say, "Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching the good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick, and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, calling all to repent and believe the gospel." The point is this. What Jesus did is every bit as important as who Jesus is. His preaching, his healing, his challenge, changing the world, his eating with outcasts, his forgiving sinners, calling all to repent, to believe in the gospel, that's all equally important to his virgin birth and his sacrificial death. When we believe in Jesus, we do not only believe that he is fully human and fully God, but we also believe that his ministry brought down to earth heaven's values just a little closer. And it gives us an example of how we are supposed to act in this world. Both Elijah and Jesus are riding that strato launch, as it were, that goes to heaven and back, and they invite us to join them on this amazing ride, a ride that speaks truth to power, that seeks justice, that reaches out to the poor and the neediest among us. And when we get on this ride that bridges heaven and earth, we move ourselves a little closer to the values of heaven. So get on board, friends. It's one heck of a ride. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.